From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we bring another in a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, A Mountain Choir. The text is found in Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 13. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. So sweet are the comforts of the Lord, that not only the saints themselves may sing of them, but even the heavens and the earth may take up the song. It takes something to make a mountain sing, and yet the prophet summons quite a choir of them, Lebanon and Syrian, and the high hills of Bashan and Moab. He would set them all singing because of Jehovah's grace to his own Zion. May we not also make mountains of difficulty and trial, in mystery and labor, become occasions for praise unto our God? Break forth into singing, O mountains. This word of promise that our God will have mercy upon his afflicted has a whole peal of bells connected with it. Hear their music. Sing. Be joyful. Break forth into singing. The Lord would have his people happy because of his unfailing love. He would not have us sad and doubtful. He claims from us the worship of believing hearts. He cannot fail us. Why should we sigh or sulk as if he would do so? Oh, for a well-tuned harp! Oh, for voices like those of the cherubim before the throne!
You too.
If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. For many weeks, Dr. Cairns has been preaching an in-depth study of Paul's epistle to the Romans. We hope you've been finding this series enlightening and challenging. Romans is Paul's masterpiece on Christian doctrine and living. Last time, Dr. Cairns began to deal with chapter 3, one of the great pivotal chapters in the entire Bible. The chapter begins with the question, "What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision?" Verse 2 begins the answer, as Paul declares, "Much every way, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God." What were those oracles? They were the entirety of the Old Testament Scriptures. At this point in these studies, Dr. Cairns takes time to remind God's people of the Bible, our most precious treasure.
As we continue our studies in the book of Romans, chapter 3, last week we took an overview of the opening section, verses 1 to 8, the first 8 verses. In doing so, we only touched on some of the great themes that are here mentioned, and I'm going to retrace our steps, having taken the overview of this passage, now to deal with some of the details. We're reading tonight chapter 3 of Romans, verses 1 and 2. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the of God. The chapter commences with a couple of questions. Questions that naturally would arise, given what Paul has just been saying. From all that we read in the foregoing chapters, I think most of us would expect the answer to the questions to be none. What are the advantages then of being Jews? There really aren't any advantages. Indeed, the Jews themselves were obviously accusing Paul of robbing them of all their nation's covenant uniqueness. The argument would be like this: if all men, Jews and Gentiles, are equally depraved, equally guilty before God, and equally incapable of rendering themselves acceptable to God, if they are all equally under the judgment of God, then surely you leave the Jews no better off than the Gentiles. So when they ask the question, what advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? The insinuation behind the question is that Paul denies any advantage and Paul denies any profit. However, the apostle vigorously rejects all such faulty logic. The answer to the question, as he gives it, is much, every way. Much. What advantage? There's much advantage. What profit? There is much profit. And it's profit and advantage in every way. Stop and think of that. Because he immediately fills in his meaning by saying, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. John Chrysostom, one of the great early Greek preachers, said, do you see how he still counts up not their good deeds, but the benefits they receive from him? There's a lot that you can read in the Church Fathers that doesn't immediately stir the soul. The homilies of John Chrysostom usually have something to say that will stir your heart, and this certainly is typical of the great golden mouth preacher of Constantinople, where he says, you see, these Jews were wanting God to count up their good deeds. Do you see how moral, how upright, how law-abiding, how this, how the other? Can you see how good we are? Can you see what we have done? This is what makes us better than the Gentiles. And the Lord says, no, no, no. Do you see not what you have done for me, but do you see what I have done for you? And that's what sets you apart. That's what sets you apart. Time forbids that I follow that line of thought very far, although I'm very good at turning a deaf ear to the forbiddings of time, mind you. But I can't really take it too far, except to say that we must not attribute this kind of heresy only to the Jews. This is something that comes naturally to the heart of every man. False religion always posits the hope of man upon what I do for God. What sets me apart is what I have done for God. What makes me acceptable is what I have done for God. This is the heresy of all heresies in this field of the doctrine of salvation. And Paul says, no, it is what God has done for us. That's the heart of the doctrine of salvation. And in a way, that's what this book of Romans is all about. And how richly the Lord had blessed the Jewish people. Now, Paul has said to these Jews, the Gentiles are sinners, but so are you. The Gentiles are inexcusable, but so are you. The Gentiles are headed for judgment, but so are you. The Gentiles can do nothing to save themselves, but neither can you. So he has established, and he will go on to establish further, the sinfulness and the guiltiness of the Jews. But I want you to see this. Watch it very, very carefully. An important truth with a direct insight into the sovereignty of God in his dealings with men. There are sinners who are just as guilty as the rest of the sinners. Just as vile and just as helpless as all the others, whom God has blessed with special privileges and special advantages. When we bring this into full New Testament revelation, we talk of this as the doctrine of divine and sovereign election. Now, we live in a day when that is a doctrine that is really not only rejected, it is parodied, it is held up to ridicule, and that by professed Bible believers. But let me point something out to you, and I will not follow this very far, but let me point something out to you. You get a man like Dave Hunt, who has written a book, a scandalous book, full of misinformation and somewhat, downright lies and misrepresentations and misquotations in order to attack what he calls Calvinism. A book that's based on ignorance. Ignorance of the Greek text, ignorance of the meaning of Scripture, ignorance of theology, ignorance of history, and an ignorance that is gloried in. You get someone like this. Or your usual fundamentalist attack on the doctrines of grace and the rejection of God's right to choose his people. This attempt to make God the ultimate democrat. This attempt to make God so enslaved to man's notions of what is acceptable that God can no longer do what he wills with his own. And you'll see this, that the people who are most vociferous in their rejection of the New Testament doctrine of election are equally most vociferous in their support of Israel as a nation. Why? Because they are God's chosen people. Do you see the inherent hypocrisy and contradiction? These are God's chosen people. Indeed, there are those who come to the text, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated, and they say that doesn't teach the election of the saints at all. That is speaking of the election and reprobation of nations. Well, hold a second. If we're talking about the election and reprobation of entire nations now, and I, of course, do not deny that God chose the nation of Israel. I rejoice in that fact. But if we're talking about that, you can see how utterly inconsistent it is to deny to God Almighty his own asserted right. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Or in the parabolic language and interpretation of the Lord Jesus, when he told the parable about the Lord giving a penny to those who had worked for an hour, and a penny to those who had worked for half a day, and a penny to those who had worked for a whole day, and those who had worked for the whole day complained, "You've given us what you gave these fellows." A far-reaching statement of Christ. Can I not do what I like with what is my own? Oh yes, he can. Here are sinners. These Jews were sinners. Israel was no holier a nation than any other nation. God didn't choose it, he said, because they were more numerous. He didn't choose the nation of Israel because they were more holy. He didn't choose the nation of Israel because of anything that is in them. If you look at Deuteronomy 7 and Deuteronomy 9, he says in effect, "I loved you because I loved you." Period. Paul is saying that, yes, there's great advantage in being a Jew. There's a great profit in belonging to the nation of Israel. In every way, it was better to be born a Jew than to be born a heathen. Chiefly, there's a lot of argument over that word in the Greek text. It's chiefly, or primarily, or simply first. Usually you would imagine this is the head standing at the head of a list. First, and then here's second, third, fourth, and fifth. Paul does not proceed to go on down the list. The idea is, I have a number of things in my mind. That's obvious from the text. He says, much in every way, chiefly. So he has a lot of things in mind. At the moment, he's not going to deal with them. But since it will be a week or two, or three or four, before we get to this, let me show you where he gives you the list, or at least partially the list, in Romans chapter 9. Where he says, verses 4 and 5, "Who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen." There's a wonderful list of benefits and blessings, advantages that there are in being a Jew. But Paul says, for the moment I want to focus exclusively upon the greatest blessing God has given to the nation of Israel. Chiefly, first and primarily, he has given unto them the oracles of God. Now what I want or hope to show you tonight is simply this, that the greatest blessing the Jews enjoyed, and it's the greatest blessing anyone could have, was to have the pure word of God revealed to them and preserved among them for their instruction in gospel truth. We're going to talk tonight simply about the Bible. The Bible, our most cherished possession.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. Founded by Dr. Alan Cairns, Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the Church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.